Written by R.D. Blackmore and adapted in 3 episodes for radio by Barry Letts, we present the most popular and enduring of romances, Lorna Doone, starring David Schofield as John Ridd and Alison Pettit as Lorna Doone. Episode 1.
If anybody cares to hear a simple tale told simply, I, John Ridd, of the parish of Orr in the county of Somerset, I will try to tell it in order. Though it must be said that in this the reign of our good Queen Anne, I find it hard to credit my own memory that for so many years we bore the evil deeds of that devil's tribe, the Doones of Bagworthy, or Badgery, as the people call it. It was on my 12th birthday, the 29th of November, 1673, that John Fry came to pull me from my school desk, and with hardly time for me to pack my bag, hustle me onto my pony and away.
But what's the use in coming now, John? You're leading poor Peggy over the moors, too. It's so cruel cold for her. The holidays don't begin till Wednesday fortnight. What to think of you're not knowing that?
Oh, us knows that well enough, Master John. We don't go to grammar school like you.
And Father? How is Father? He always used to come for me. And need no one else to do it.
Best save your breath now. We've a long day's ride across the moor. You keep your eyes skinned for the old arch, boy.
What's that? John? John! What's that noise?
Mercy of God. Where be us now? Seen the old ash, have he?
No, not... Oh. I can see what it is now. It's a gibbet. Have they hanged one of the Doones then, John?
Nay. That be Red Jem Annerford. A good cess to his soul, I say. A creaking soul, and showing us the way.
But what did they hang him for?
Belonged to t'other side of the moor, Jem did. And come stealing sheep to our side. Hang a Doone. Might as well talk of hanging King Charles himself.
All my life I'd heard tell of the Doones, feared by all Somerset and Devon as a pack of murdering brigands. And yet, treated with an unwilling respect as a sort of gentry. For was not their first captain, Sir Ensor Doone, a high-born baronet who had been outlawed by the old king for killing a gentleman of the court? John Fry refused to say a word more to me the rest of the way home, and his silence made me feel yet more uneasy. And when we at last arrived at Brothers Barrows...
Why isn't the landlord in the cow shed? Why is no one coming to meet us?
I should have maybe told him, Master John. But somehow
it's Father, isn't it? My father's dead.
Smiler came home with blood on his withers. And, oh, my poor fatherless boy.
Oh, Jack. What happened, Mother?
Oh, my dearest dear, shall I never see you anymore?
Annie? They shot him, Jack. They... Oh, Father. Father.
Well, your kids bring him back, Annie. Tell him what happened, Mother.
Lizzie, you heartless child.
I've been crying, you know I have. John, it was the Doones that killed him.
Oh. Where? Coming home from Porlock Market, they were. My John and Henry Garman and...
There were 5 of the farmers. And they just gave them their money.
Father.
Please stop.
Oh, sober you would have been. More than a gallon of cider never passed his lips. But, oh, John, he went for them with his stick and
they shot him.
One was hiding in the grass with a long gun.
Oh! John! Come back! Where are you going?
I slunk away without a tear or thought of weeping and hid myself in a sawpit. All I wanted was to hide and none to tell me more, and there I stayed until the frost of the night was near to matching the coldness in my heart and I was driven to my bed. At last I fell into a sleep full of dread. But early the next morning...
Jack, wake up.
What is it, honey?
It's Mother. She's gone.
What? Well, maybe she's gone to Dover to seek help from Uncle Ben.
Across the moor, on foot. Smiler's in the stable, Jack.
I'll roost out John Price and send him with the others to look for her.
It was little Lizzie who found her at the last, or rather met her in the twilight on the track from the high moor. She left Mother Owl gazing at the blaze of the kitchen fire and came to fetch me and Annie from our searching. She had done the most wondrous thing, though some might account it madness. She had come on foot to the Valley of the Dunes and demanded to be taken to their captain.
And my eyes were covered over. They led me by the hand, but I could feel the cold iron pushing into my back.
Oh, Mother.
But were you not afraid?
Where did they take you?
To the house of the captain. About a dozen little houses, I should think, sitting on the bank of the Badgery River. No more, more, and his the largest. He was an old gentleman, very tall and thin. It was Sir Ensor Doone himself. I couldn't find my tongue.
Good woman, you are none of us. Who has brought you here?
I am here to ask for my husband. My murdered husband, slain by a Doone.
This is a serious thing, madam.
Oh, John, you're gone forever and only last week.
Oh, Counselor Carver, here is a lady of good repute.
Oh, no, sir. Only a woman.
Allow me, madam, by your good leave. Here is a lady, Counselor, of great repute in this part of the country, who charges the Doones with having unjustly slain her husband.
Murdered him, sir. You know it.
To put the case, madam.
Sir?
Counselor wants to know when and where this mishap fell.
Saturday morning I was a wife, sir. And Saturday night a widow. And my children fatherless. My husband's name was John Ridd, sir. And there wasn't a finer man in Somerset or Devon. He was coming home from Porlock Market, and a new gown for me on the crupper. Oh, John, how good you were to me!
Counselor, you are our record and very stern against us. Tell us how this matter was.
In a few words, Father. Four or five of our best behaved and most peaceful gentlemen had been to the little market of Pork. They had drawn bridle to rest their horses when a robber of great size and strength rode into the midst of them.
By your leave, Father. Sir, we could not give up our goods with no attempt to save them. But three of us fell senseless from his blows. I had a pistol.
You shot this man?
I had no choice.
Aye, sir. Carver it was, our brave and noble Carver, who saved the lives of his brethren.
It was you. You killed my John.
We'd hoped it might only be a flesh wound.
Sir Ensor, you are a gentleman. I appeal to you.
All the Doones are gentlemen. We are always glad to explain, madam, any mistake the rustic people may make about us. And we wish you clearly to conceive that we do not charge your poor husband with any set purpose of robbery.
What?
The waters are strong at Porlock, and even an honest man may use his staff unjustly in this age of violence. We will forgive him, madam.
And then he made to give me a purse of money. Those cutthroat dogs, to try to buy the life of the finest man that ever...
Into the lion's den. You were lucky it wasn't feeding time.
And what would you have done, little Miss Clever?
I shouldn't have been so foolish. What good came of it in the end?
You know old father's murderer. Young Carver Doone will one day have to face his son. And I'm not being armed as mother was.
Be sure to pick a nice big stone.
Stone?
She means like David, Jack. David and Goliath.
Goliath? To be sure, this Carver was a very large man indeed. So were they all the Doones I saw. But that murdering villain was the biggest.
Oh, Mother.
Somehow the winter passed, and the springtime too. Missed my father most out of doors. Often I'd look at his gun, an ancient matchlock found in the sea. From the Spanish Armada, he said. But never would I touch it until one day in the late summer, some 9 months after Father's death.
Now I got thee, my beauty. Rest still now.
John Fry! John Fry! What do you think you're doing?
Doing, Master John? Shooting a rat, that's what I be doing. Leastways I were, afore thee shouting made me lose me aim.
That's Father's gun.
Aye. Bad job for he, as he hadn't got thick either night as he come across them dunes. Reckon Farmer Jan would have showed them the way to kingdom come, instead of going himself so easy. Well then, what be blubbering at?
You're not blubbering, John. You're mistaking me for young Annie. Now, let me have the gun.
Thee have it? You never lift it to thy shoulder, boy.
John Fry was very nearly right. For the weight of that great gun was such that I could only make shift to aim it at all if I rested it on a wall or the top of a gate. I practiced shooting it whenever I could get away from my chores on the farm. And every time I pulled the trigger, I thought to myself, this for Father's murderer. And by the time I'd been practicing in secret for nearly 2 years...
Ah, there you are, Annie. What? Come along now, and if you can hold your tongue, I'll show you something.
As if I could, Jack. In the middle of my breaking.
No, you must come at once. Or shall I go for little Lizzie? Let her see the old thing.
What? Is it a coming for me? I'll get my cloak.
Watch now.
But it's not Father's long gun. Jack, be careful.
Annie, I am not a child. I'm 14, you know. Anyhow, I've been practicing for an age. Now, look. There. See? Come on, look.
I can see you've made a hole in the barn door.
Yeah, but just you wait until I've loaded up again.
Mother will think you're a practical apprentice to Cousin Tom.
You must have a great life, Lizzie. I'd go bail for that. And they say he's the richest gentleman of the road in all the West.
A highwayman still a road, Jack.
Don't worry, little Annie. I'm a farmer born and bred, content to see one. Now then, you'll see that I can do it every time. Annie,
mm-hmm.
Remember those pickled loaches that I brought home from Tivon once? Mm. Mother said that in all her life, she never tasted anything fit to compare. If I go tomorrow to the brook and catch some more, will you bake them for her, with the dill and the peppercorns and stuff?
Of course I will.
You see? And that might have been that doom villain starving there.
Mother did say that he was big. I wonder now, do you think he can be as big as our best barn door?
Whether it was as a consequence of Lizzie's scorn, or my own reminder of my vow of revenge, I know not. But the whole turn of all my life was to hang upon my venture of the following day. St. Valentine's Day, in the year of our Lord, 1676. Having left my shoes and stockings on the bank, and having speared a goodly few of my quarry in some 2 miles of the tumbling waters of the Lynn, I found myself with freezing feet and aching legs in an open space where a rushing stream ran into the body of our brook. It was the Badgery River, which flowed from the Doon Valley itself, and I resolved to venture where no grown man durst, and seek a way into the domain of my father's enemy.
I am fish from my neck. Yeah. Oh, my bridge is high. Some different in the bushes. Can't see the sky. The cold. Oh, can I feel my toes? So cry. Listen.
And so, in a sorry plight, I came at last to an opening in the cupboard. I stood at the foot of a long, pale slide of water coming down towards me without any break for 100 yards or more, and fenced on either side with cliffs, sheer and straight and shining. I grasped the good loach stick with a sigh of despair and began my course up the fearful torrent way. But with the slippery slime in the course of the river, I have scanty hope of ever winning the summit. But I came at last to a more level patch in the black ooze and very near the top.
Let's push now. Where's the gun? Save me now. Keep on my knees. You know I am.
Now, being in a most dreadful fright, for all my body was sliding, I managed to grab a hold of a spur of rock and haul myself up again. And all my strength nearly spent, I stumbled forward into the light. I was at the top. I felt fresh air, fell into it headlong, and lost all sense of my surroundings.
Boy, wake up, boy.
No.
Oh, I'm so glad. Now you'll try to do better, won't you? How did you come here?
Never had I seen anything so beautiful as the large dark eyes looking down upon me, so full of pity and wonder. A little girl, some 2 or 3 years younger than me, with a shower of black curls and the clear, smooth skin of a lady.
What are these wet things in the bag?
You better leave them alone. They're loaches for my mother.
Well, they're only fish. But how your feet are bleeding. And no shoes or stockings. Is your mother very poor, poor boy?
No. We're rich enough to buy all the Grey Meadow if he chose. He was wading in the river.
What's your name?
John Red. What's yours?
Lorna Doon. If you please, my name is Lorna Doon, and I thought you must have known it.
Don't cry. I'm sure you've never done any harm.
Oh, why did you come here? Do you know what they'd do to us if they found you here with me?
Beat us, I dare say. Very hard.
No, they would kill us both. Outright. And bury us here by the water.
What would they kill me for?
Because you've found your way up here. Now please go. Please go.
First, tell me. Do you like me a little, Lorna Doon?
Yes, I like you very much. And I'll call you John Ridd, if you like. Only please do go. And when your feet are well, you know, you can come again to tell me how they are.
Well, I tell you, Lorna, I like you very much indeed. Nearly as much as our Annie, and a great deal more than Lizzie. I never saw anyone like you. And I'll bring you such a morn of things. There are apples still, and the first I caught with a broken leg. And our dogs just our puppies.
Lorna! Where are you, Queen?
Carver always calls me Queen. And he says I am to be that Queen one day. Carver!
Queen! Queen!
And that's Charlie too. You must go, go. See that hole? The hole in the cliff. With the white rock beside it. There is a way out through there. Some secret steps.
No, they see me going over the grass. See, they're crossing the timber there.
I'll be sure to see her. I'll kill us both.
No. I see what we must do. We must go in the water, and you must go to sleep.
Yes, of course. But how bitter cold it'll be for you.
Order!
Goodbye, John Ridd. Now, mine can never come again. Only I shall come sometime. But not a puppy. They never let me have a dog.
Whee! Order!
Oh, here they come.
Goodbye.
Are you hiding, girl? Fast asleep, big old Charlotte. She's here.
Save her, Charlie. I have her claim to her. No one else shall touch the child. Come on, my beauty.
I lay bodily in the icy water, only yards away, and was forced to watch my enemy pick her up as if she were a baby, for Carver was indeed a very Goliath, set her on his great square shoulder, and in triumph march away. And yet, just before she was hidden by the willows, little Lorna turned and put up a hand to me.
Maybe it was the sight of that great villain, the size of him, I mean, that set me on to growing. For my body now started on its long climb to manhood, pausing on the way to admonish me, when in the fashion of a 15-year-old male animal of the human kind, I presumed too far.
You could have broke your neck at the pool up there.
I nearly won the race.
You nearly went over Smiler's head.
I'd be spoken to in such a way by a kid of only 13 years.
And that's no way to speak to a lady, lad.
My sister, sir.
If I had as pretty a sister, I'd give her a kiss and say my sorries. Not shout at her like an ostler in drink.
You're right, sir. I lost my temper. I'm sorry, Annie.
It's all right.
There now. I didn't think my cousin's family would be the quarrelling sort.
Sir?
Your father was my cousin, Annie. Tom Faggus is me name, as everybody knows.
Tom Faggus? The highwayman?
I've been called worse names. Well, young'un, and what are you a-gaping at?
You mercer. I never saw such a beauty.
Nor never will.
Will you let me have a ride of her?
Oh, you can never ride my Winnie boy. I'd be loath to kill thee.
There were never a horse on Exmoor Fold that I couldn't tackle in half an hour.
Well, there can be small harm. I'm akin to your family and know the thickness of their skulls.
Just let me get up, sir, and you'll soon see.
No, Jack, no.
Get away, Annie. I'll try not to squeeze her ribs in unless she plays nonsense with me.
Not too hard, Winnie, my dear. Let him down gently. And Winnie, stop.
Gee, what, Winnie? Car. Show us what you're made of.
Hold on, Johnny! Johnny!
Foul shame on you, Tom Faggus, to put my boy upon that creature!
Hey, Cousin Sarah!
He'll be killed, I know he will!
Watch now!
At her master's signal, Winnie set off for home with the speed and grace of a swallow. It was quite clear who was in charge. And when Tom whistled again, she stopped in a length, and I went up and over her head and straight into the dung heap.
Aye, and right into the mix, and just as I told her.
Oh, Johnny! Johnny! Not Johnny, Mother.
My name's John. Or Jack, if you like.
You're not dead. Heaven be praised.
Aye, we may teach you to ride by and by. I thought not to see you stick on so long.
Fie upon you. Fie upon you, Tom Faggus. After all we've done for you, and saved your worthless neck so many times, and to try to kill my son for me, be off with you.
Winnie shall stop here tonight, Mother. Or shall I go away with her? I never knew what it was like till now to ride a horse worth riding.
Young man, women care not to understand us, men.
Now, Tom, maybe I've been too hasty. Let John take your Winnie now and come inside.
No, Cousin Sarah, no.
Oh, please don't go, Cousin.
So Tom Faggus stayed to supper and warmed all our hearts. Even little spiky Lizzie was so taken with his merry tale, she was rolling on the floor with glee. And Mother laughed so much she broke her new dimity waistband.
while Annie never stopped looking at him, staring so hard with her dear soft eyes they were like to pop right out of her head. And he made much of her, too, it must be said. I resumed my growing and grew 4 inches for every year on my farm, and within 5 or 6 years I was known throughout Somerset and Devon as Gert John Ridd, the champion of the wrestling. But as for Lorna, when I remembered our meeting, it seemed no more than the thought of a dream, which I could hardly call to mind. And so it might have stayed, had it not been for Reuben Huckaback, my mother's uncle, and his adventure with the Doones. New Year's Eve it was, when I turned 21.
Oh, there's something sadly amiss. I know there is.
Well, perhaps Uncle Ben's decided not to come at all.
Oh.
For my part, I'd be content never to see him.
Oh, Lizzie, he's a very nice old man.
Annie, he's a very rich old man, and we're his only kin.
Lizzie, it's my Christian duty to see after Uncle Ben. And if I wish to keep as well as could be with him, for the sake of my children, where's the harm?
And what of little Ruth?
Well, what of her?
Her granddaughter surely comes before any other kindred.
We'll see. Oh, where can he have got to? Johnny! Johnny, I'm so glad you've come at last. Here's a sorry thing. Your uncle's missing.
You mean he hasn't arrived yet?
And the bacon done to a turn, and the leek spoiled to a rag, and the new plates come from Watchet with the Watchet blue upon them at the risk of everyone's life.
Well,
and
you've Mother read... dear, let us have our dinner, or it will all be spoiled.
Oh.
And afterwards, I'll go and seek for him in a thicket of fog.
Oh.
That is, unless you really think that I ought to go without my dinner.
Oh, no, I never thought that, thank God. Bless him indeed for my children's appetites. Annie...
So, having eaten my dinner and half of Uncle Ben's, I set off in the thick moorland mist. But nothing did I see or hear to tell me of his fate until I reached Black Barrow Down, just when the light was going and my small stock of courage rapidly going with it. I was passing the cleft in the cliff face which led to the Wizard's Slough, when I heard a voice. I was loath to venture between the crags, for many a traveller had perished in that wicked mire, but I drove myself to it, and I did right, for on the very brink of the bog itself.
Oh, Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy upon my soul. And if I cheated Sam Hicks last week, thou knowst how well he deserved it. Oh, Lord, where be I a-going?
Who knows, sir? What? Mr. Reuben at the back in such a plight?
An honest hosier and draper, sir, from the loyal town of Dulverton. Oh, for God's sake, untie me and let me down from this accursed animal, good fellow. I will pay thee well.
Don't you know me, uncle? Your dutiful nephew, John Ridd.
Hold still. Oh! It's been trying to bite my leg for an age. Aye, and sometimes got a nip. Oh, my back.
Well, a good solid little pony, sir. As meddlesome as any from Exmoor. A little wild from any of your years, perhaps. What's his name?
You numbskull, it is wild. They stole my good nizzler along with my purse and tied me on this.
Oh, oh, it's all right, there, sir. There, sir. Let me help you up.
Oh, oh, gently. Gently. Oh, I've had my face to the nag's rump for nigh on 2 hours. Nay, more. Oh, thank you, boy. Thank you. Oh, I cannot stand.
Then I shall carry her myself and lead the nag. Come on.
Up we go.
Oh, Bernal. You're a good lad, John Ridd.
As fine a mount as you'll find this side of Dunstan Hall, fair.
And I leave you my little savings for this. small though they may be. But take notice, that horse is mine, no less than the chestnut those rascals robbed of me.
Annie, more brandy for Uncle Ben.
A little less water, if you please. But keep it off.
Yes, Uncle. Ah, oh, they thrive indeed, those wicked Doones. It would seem that nobody can say them nay.
Or there's little we can do to stop them. Folks are all too scared.
The villains. I'll have you know, sir, I owe this parish to answer for it. Robbed in this parish I was, as I can prove to the eternal disgrace of the parish of Orr and to the scandal of all England. Oh, thank you, Annie. And you'll make it good. Oi, farmers, yeomen and all the rest of you bumpkins. I'll sell your old church up before your eyes, but I'll have back my purse, my timepiece, my saddle and my chestnut mare.
What do the others do, sir? Mount an attack on the Doone gate to rescue your horse and saddle.
Now you, Jack, you are a heavy lout, sir. A clodhopper and a coward.
The parish can defend itself, Uncle. But our Jack is not like that.
Maybe I was too strong against the parish. Tomorrow, New Year's Day or no, I shall pay a visit to the squire at Lee Manor.
The Baron?
Aye, and sue a warrant against the Doones, and a posse to execute it.
Oh.
I shall want you to ride with me, to protect me.
With all my heart, sir.
Shall you take our father's gun, Jack?
A warrant against the Doones, Master Huckaback. How many of the Doones, so please you? And their names, what are they?
Seven of the villains, my lord. As for their Christian names, most likely they never had any. But we all know Sir Ensor's name, do we not?
So, a warrant against Sir Ensor Doone and seven of his sons.
You have it, my lord.
So far, so good. And you, Master Ridd, do you confirm this tale?
My uncle was in sore distress, sure, but as to how it happened, I wasn't there, my lord.
I see. So, Master Huckaback, Sir Ensor was the captain, was he?
It could be nobody else, because in spite of the fog, it was quite clear that they
were... Fog! Oh, I see. That explains the whole affair. To be sure, the weather yesterday was too thick for a man to see the head of his own horse. The Doones would never have come abroad on such a day. You were mistaken. The fog explains the whole thing.
But, my lord, I swear...
Go home, my good fellow. For your own sake, I'm heartily glad this charge has miscarried.
My lord, is this your justice? If I go to London for it, the king shall know how a good man may be robbed, and that in his good county of Somerset is commissioned for the...
Somerset? Why, to be sure, the felony, if any, was laid in Somerset. But, Master Huckaback, I, the humble servant of His Majesty, am a justice of his peace for the county of Devon only.
And why, in the name of God, why could you not say as much at first and save me all this waste of time and worry of my temper? All of you gentlemen are in league. You all stick together.
Uncle Ben, come away. Yes, Master Ridd. Take him home before I lodge him in our jailhouse for the night. To cool his ill humour and teach him better manners.
I'm not the one who needs a lesson in manners.
But Uncle Ben refused to go back to the farm. He insisted that I take him straightway to the heights above the Doone Valley itself, even though we had to leave the horses and make the ascent on foot. As he struggled up the hill, I asked him why we were there at all. Oh.
Why? To spy out the dwelling of these scoundrel Doones, of course, and learn the best way to get at them when the time shall come. Mark my words, this villain job shall not end here. I have another card to play.
You mean, sir, that you will go to the justices of this county, Squire Maunder and Sir Richard Blewett?
I mean nothing of the sort, you oaf. They would only make me a laughing stock as the Baron did. No, I will go to the king himself. Or rather, to a man who is bigger than the king, to whom I have ready access. I did him some small service in the late war. He'll make some of your zany squires shaking their shoes, I reckon. Why have you stopped? We lose the light.
Please, Uncle, we must go on our bellies up to the top of the cliff. If they were to spot us at our spying games.
Well, if we must, well, then we must. Though I'll first remove my coat.
Oh, you patronage you, sir. Sure to God.
better an ague than to wreck my best doe-skin frock coat that is filling the yard. Come, sir.
Down there, sir. Down there, see the other end of the valley. The houses of the dunes. Oh, I see them. And I see what fools they be. This great dune valley could be taken in half an hour.
To be sure it could. If they could to give it up.
Three cannon. Culverins would be needed at the least. Three on yonder hill across the valley and three on this one, and we have them under a pestle. Oh, I've seen the wars, my lad. From Keystone up to Naseby. And I might have been a general by now, if they'd taken my advice.
But I wasn't attending to him. For he'd noticed on the other side of the valley the white rock which lay by the opening in the cliff through which I'd made my exit all those years ago. But more, as I gazed, I saw a little figure, light and nimble, come and pause and pass in. My heart came into my ribs and all my blood was in my face, for though she must have long forgotten me, at that moment I felt I was face to face with fate, for weal or woe, my future lay with Lorna Doone. I determined at once to repeat the perilous climb I'd made in my boyhood. First, however, I made a secret visit to a good tailor in Porlock. But nothing was a secret very long from Lizzie.
Why, John, how elegant you look.
Now, Lizzie, don't you start your nonsense again.
Changing your breeches and nail off your nonsense, I think.
I've had enough of your spying on me, miss.
Spying? I came into the barn to look for goose eggs. Desdemona's taken a fancy to laying them here. Oh, when I see my moonstruck brother.
Oh, no, stop
it. His little green small clothes going a wooing. Now, don't tell me I'm talking nonsense. It isn't Valentine's Day, after all.
Don't waste my time like this.
If they want a farm of snows, girls, Jack.
To tell the truth, I took it for a good omen that I was a 7 year a Valentine. Though I foolishly forgot that my new breeches would hardly look their best after the climb up the water slide, which had strangely shrunken over the years, I climbed it nearer as easy as the stairs at home. But my knees turned traitor, and I found myself kneeling in the coldness of the water with my heart awake and trembling, where once I had lain trembling with fear. For walking among the primroses, as if she loved them all, was Lorna Doone. And every flower was the brighter as her eyes were on them. Scarce knowing what I did, I came from the dark mouth of the chasm and stood almost afraid to speak.
Lorna Doone, please don't be afraid.
Who are you, sir? How do you know my name?
I'm John Redd, the boy whose life you saved by your quickness. 7 years ago.
Well, there you are. The poor boy who was frightened so and obliged to hide in the water.
Do you remember how you looked back at me through the willow trees?
Oh, yes, I remember everything because it was so rare to see you. I mean, because I happen to remember. But you seem not to remember, sir, how perilous this place is. Why did you come?
Why? For an age, I felt badly that I didn't come back then as I said I would.
I think you cannot know what the dangers of this place are and the nature of the people here.
I know enough. And I'm frightened. All the time I don't look at you. Oh, Mistress Lorna, you're trembling. You need not be feared of me.
My fear is all for you, Master Red. It is too dangerous for you to come here, sir.
I shall go. I can see that it would grieve you if any rogue shot me. I'd not come again. So you think of me now and then. And I'll bring you some new-laid eggs for our young blue hen is beginning.
Oh, thank you. But you needn't come to see me. You can put them in my little bar where almost always where I go every day to be away from them.
Only show me where it is.
Nay, Master, I would never show you, never. It would be too perilous for you. Only... Well, it so happens you've found the way already. Near the stony stairs where last you left, a cleft in the rock covered with ivy. That is the doorway to my secret garden. Goodbye, John Red.
I touched her white hand softly when she gave it to me in farewell, and would have been glad at heart to kiss her, but that it might prove me the churl I was compared to her high birth. Indeed, it was the thought of the lowliness of my yeoman stock that kept me from soon returning. But my resolve to forget my presumptuous adventure was more easily taken than kept. In the end, I knew I must go again. And it came about along one of Tom Faggus's escapades that was soon the talk of all Somerset and most of Devon besides.
And those of you with guns, keep them aimed at the scoundrel, but do not fire unless I give the word. You understand?
Yes, sir. Squire Lewis, sir. We got your message, Mulder. What's the put the word in the morning?
That's you, Sir Richard.
The warrants have arrived from London.
As expect Tom Faggus, Squire. And some of us means to shoot.
Yeah. A man must keep the line. And they'll sell the sixpence for each of you if we catch him. Now then, we'll conceal ourselves in the spinney and not show ourselves till he's across the hall.
There's another gentleman coming, Squire. Did you say just stand for it as well, Mulder?
Any justice of the king's peace be found near Calvert people?
Marcus, my name, sir.
And my fellow, holder of his gracious majesty's commission, is Sir Richard Blewitt.
Your servant, sir.
Now, good and worshipful stars, I'm here to claim your good advice and valor. I hold a warrant upon the life or person of the notorious Rev Tom Faggus. The Lord Chief Justice is particularly eager that his depredations should cease.
Lord Chief Justice. That's the very reason why we've assembled here. Pray,
give us your instructions, sir.
I thank you. And now then, your worships have posted the men right well. You'll surely have no chance among so many valiant musketeers. Ah, but what do I see there? Rust in the pan of your gun, my friend. And another, just as bad. And a fur. Those guns would never go off, sure as I'm the king's commissioner.
What shall we do? I fear there'd be no oil here.
Discharge your pieces, gentlemen. Then let the men do the same, or at least try to do so, and load again with fresh powder. The fog of the morning has spoilt the priming.
What would His Majesty say to me if he let the fellows slip?
Well said, sir. Excellent. I should never have thought of that now. You hear that, man? You be ready to shoot out into the air directly I'll give the word.
Yes, sir. All ready, your word, sir.
Then, one, two, three, and shoot!
Thank you, gentlemen. And now, be so good as to hand forth your money. And all your warrants.
Faggus. You Tom Faggus!
And so I am. Thank you, Sir Richard. A man of decision, I see. Thank you, Squire Maunder.
If you please, sir, Mr. Faggus.
Yes.
Us didn't want to shoot thee. Squire, we're going to give a sixpence.
What are you? A generous offer. Here.
Oh, well, all right.
Come on, Winnie. We will make it away.
When father was alive, he'd often saved his cousin's neck, usually by hiding him. And now, Tom thought it time to revive the old tradition. Annie was working in the dairy.
Cousin Tom.
Annie, my dear.
I can't stop churning. The butcher's coming.
Is your mother in?
Why, no. She's dragged Lizzie down to the village. Poor old Mistress Cantwell is dying, they say.
And Brother Jack?
Down to Bottom End with the men. I'm alone in the house.
So much the better. Give your cousin a quick kiss, then.
Cousin Tom, you shouldn't do it.
You telling me you don't like it?
Well, I didn't say... No, cousin. Oh, Tom.
You can be my saviour, little Annie.
By kissing you?
No. I have two dogs upon my tail, intent on hanging me. I've a price on my head, you see.
Tom, what can I do? Tell me, what shall I do?
Why, tell him I've taken the Porlock Road while I double back to Newland.
Will you do that for your cousin?
With all my heart. But Tom...
And here's your reward.
Oh, Tom.
Hey! Give my respects to Cousin Jack. Hey up, Winnie! I'll come again, little Annie!
Well.
Honey, what do you think you're about?
John, he's being chased. The law is after him.
The more fool him. I'll not have him laying hold of my sister in such a fashion. He'd have had my fist if I had caught him.
He wants me to mislead them. He wants me to say he went to Porlock.
So, not content with treating you like a strumpet from the shoes of mine, Ed, he demands you lie to save his skin.
They'll hang him, Elf, or shoot him. Oh, Jack, he's our cousin.
Cousin or no, he has no right. You address me, sir?
I do. You see the wild-looking ruffian riding the Strawberry Rowan past this way.
What do you want with him?
We hold the king's warrant for his apprehension.
May I see it?
Oh, of course. That is... You doubt my word, fellow?
I am not to be addressed as fellow, sir. I am John Red, yeoman and owner of this farm.
John Red, the wrestler?
The same.
Of course you are, you and me, 25 guineas a 12-month back.
Blow it, you're wasting time. Now then, Master Red, have you or have you not set eyes on the fugitive?
I have, sir. A gentleman on the fine horse you describe passed this way not 10 minutes since, riding as if the old one himself were after him. He was heading towards Porlock.
You spoke, girl?
Porlock. That's right, Porlock way, sir.
Go on, blow it. We'll see the blackguard swing before the night's out.
John, thank you. If anything should happen to him, I...
Why, Annie, what is it? Is it that scoundrel Fagus taking liberty so?
It was no liberty. Not in the least.
Don't let him break your heart, my dearest girl. Ooh, how could I lose my Annie now?
I am the raised pies and turnover cakes I bake for you.
And the toasted kidneys and the coddled eggs.
Merciful heaven, the butter! I've quite forgot the butter!
I could deny my feelings no longer. And the upshot of it all was this, that as my life was not worth the living without sight of Lorna, I needs must go again to find her. Maybe it was my taking of 3 parts of a gallon of cider because of my fear of meeting her once more, and if the truth be known, maybe meeting some of her kin. But what did I do but fall asleep in the soft grass of the meadow at the top?
There now, mister. The old gentleman will think he's right pretty.
Oh, there, Laura. Round the diamonds that would buy me.
Thank you, Granny.
Oh, and a necklace. Oh, they'll be primroses by the water.
Well, mustn't take too long. Grandfather hates me to be late for supper.
Mistress, come quick. There's a dead man here.
Dead? Are you sure?
No.
Oh, no. He's just sleeping. Why? Oh, Gwenny, go and keep good watch for the guard coming.
I will.
Master Red. Master Red. Oh. Are you mad?
Mistress Lorna. Not mad. Oh, I fear I may be dreaming.
Oh, come away if you care for life. The patrol will be here directly. Let me hide you, Master Red.
I'll not stir a step. Unless you call me John.
Well, John, then. Master John Red. Come away to my little bower.
I feel like to get stuck in my doorway, Master Red.
We're safe here, and Gwenny will warn us in good time. Well, sir?
Well?
Have I done aught to offend you, Master Red?
What? Oh, I know.
Then where are the new laid eggs, or have the blue hen start laying?
Oh, no, don't. Yes, give me some. Well, they should be not crushed.
So many. Where is some of them?
2 dozen. He would have brought me more. And my pocket's been bigger.
Master Red.
Oh. Well, what have I done? What have I said?
No. You've been too kind. I'm not used to kindness. Since my aunts have been a dad, I have no one, you see.
No mother? Or father?
I have no remembrance of either. And though my grandfather, Sir Ensidun, cares for me, and I love him dearly, he is very old and harsh of manner.
And all around me is violence and robbery and pain. Savage pain.
But have you no friends amongst the women? Well, what about your cousins? What of Gwenny?
Gwenny Garfax, my little maid. Oh, she is no doom. She was found wandering the moorland, starving and like to die. So she is alone as I am myself.
Alone no longer, Mistress Lorna. As long as I am alive, you shall not be alone.
Oh, Master Rich, you should not say such things to me.
I swear you didn't mean to vex you. I cannot help myself.
I am not vexed. Indeed, it pleases me to hear you say it, but Master Red, I fear for your safety. If Carver should ever find you here...
I know of Carver.
Aye. You've seen him for yourself all those years ago when he carried me away. He bears the first repute amongst the Doones for strength and courage and for savagery. He'll kill a man with as little pity as a farmer kills a pig for bacon. He claims me for his own. I think he means to marry me.
Marry you?
I am at the mercy of these terrible men, sir.
You must come away. She must come away from this devil's brood. My mother would
say... Do you think I haven't longed to fly from this dreadful place? If it were not for my grandfather, I would have done so long ago. But I cannot bear that he should die with no gentle hand to comfort me. Gwenny, the watch is coming.
But which shall I see you?
Wait for 30 minutes before you leave. And Master Ridd, if you are my friend...
If I am your friend?
Indeed, I know it, sir. So to save me from anxiety, promise me that you'll not show yourself here for at least another month.
A month? But what if you should be in trouble?
Oh, unless indeed there's anything... Oh, I mean... Oh, very well. If I should have need of you, I shall leave a sign. Yes. I know. A dark cloth thrown over the white rock at the entrance, the outer entrance to this place, which you can see from the cliff top.
If you promise that... Then I promise to wait a month.
Oh, to comfort. Oh, I must go.
Oh, Mrs. Lorna.
Farewell.
Never a month went so slow as that one with me, though the work of the farm was at its busiest. But neither weed nor seed nor cattle kept me from looking once every day for any sign from Lorna, but always in vain. On the last Thursday of that accursed month, I had seen to the horses at the end of the day, and I was just thinking that on Sunday my long penance would be done and I would be free to seek Lorna, when a hard-faced man in a dark brown riding suit, none the better for Exmoor mud, but cut very differently from the fashion of our tailors, came riding up from the ford across the Mince Stream.
Service of our lord the king! Come hither, thou great yokel,
sir.
Plover Barrow's farm. Is there anywhere in this cursed county a cursed place called Plover Barrow's farm? The last 20 mile they told me to only just round corner.
This is Plover Barrow's farm, sir, and you are kindly welcome. Sheep's kidneys is for supper and a few rashes of hung deer's meat and the ale got bright from the tapping. But why do you think ill of us?
Nay, I think no ill. Sheep's kidneys is good, uncommon good. In faith, then, I will leave my horse in your hands and be off for it. Jeremy Stickles is my name, an officer of the worshipful court of King's Bench. Oh, but say, I almost forgot my business. I may not rest nor bite barley bread until I've seen and touched John Ridd. God grant that he be not far away.
Have no fear, good sir. You have seen and touched John Ridd.
I am he. Oh. Then, boy, listen well. In the name of the King, His Majesty Charles II, this warrant requires thee to appear in person before the right worshipful the justices of the King's Bench, laying aside all thine own business, to deliver evidence touching certain matters whereby the peace of our said lord the King may be imperiled. Take it, John Ridd, there's nothing in it to kill thee, and my supper will be spoiling.
I am to go to London.
You are, to Westminster.
When? When do I have to go, tomorrow?
Well, my horse is greatly foundered and is hardly fit for the road. And Friday is not a day upon which pious folk love to begin an enterprise. A day will be no harm. We'll step forth early on Saturday.
Sir, don't give to me no wait until Sunday, sir. I have some business.
John Ridd, if you wish to cross the bows of the Lord Chief Justice of England... His Honour Judge Jeffreys, then I do not.
In all honour, I couldn't venture to enter Glendune before Sunday, and no signal could be seen to absolve me from my promise to Lorna. So, with a heavy heart, I left with Mr. Stickles at the appointed time, little knowing that my Lorna would have need of me that very day.
Why, Charlie, what are you doing down here? Is Grandfather not well?
Well enough for an old dotard. I'm no messenger boy, my love. I come on my own behalf. First into the breaches, Charlie. That's what the lads all say. And the wenches, too.
Charlie, please, let me go.
There's nobody here to see you. Give us a kiss as a taste.
Let me go.
Charlie! I'll kill him. I'll tear every...
No, Carver, stop! He's full of drink. He didn't know what he was doing.
I'd not expected this so soon. You're a grown woman now, Princess. You need my protection.
What do you mean?
The time has come. I've waited too long already. We'll be married within the month.
Had I but known of Lorna's peril, I would have torn the king's warrant to pieces and gone to her aid. But every step of my journey took me further away, leaving her helpless in the cruel hands of Carver Doone.
In episode 1 of Lorna Doone by R.D. Blackmore, adapted for radio by Barry Letts, the narrator and John Ridd were played by David Schofield and Young John by James Richard. Lorna Doone by Alison Pettit and Young Lorna by Charlotte Grattage. Mother by Janet Dale, Tom Faggus by Cornelius Garrett, and Jeremy Stickles by Graham Padden. Lizzie Ridd was played by Sunny Ormond, and Young Lizzie by Laura Berry. Annie Ridd by Catherine Mount, and Young Annie by Samantha Dowling. Gwenny by Susan Jeffrey, John Fry by Ian Brooker, and Uncle Ben by James Warrior. Councillor Doone was played by Graham Colclough, Carver Doone by Kim Durham, and Charlie Doone by David Perks. Other parts were played by members of the company. Lorna Doone was directed at Pebble Mill by Brian Lighthill.